Thanks for tuning in to the Next Level Church podcast. For more information, check out our website at nextlevelchurch.net.
And now, let's welcome Pastor Ross.
Good morning. I got to know, is there anyone excited to be at church today? Yeah. You guys are looking great. Today we are continuing our series, Complaining in the Promised Land. But before we dive into our text, I want to give a few shout-outs. First of all, every single Sunday is someone's first time at Next Level Church. So if you're a regular, would you help me welcome our first-time guests that are here? Second, I want to take a moment to welcome our online community and especially those who are part of our military. Would you help me welcome them here today? And last up, I want to give a shout-out to some of our owners. If you're new to Next Level, what you need to know is that at Next Level, we don't have members, we have owners. Members have rights, but owners have responsibilities. What that means is that when Next Level is your church, you're part of the responsibility of making sure this thing is the best that it possibly can be. And I want to give a shout-out to our owners that are part of the parking team, and I want to tell you the backstory of why I'm thinking about them today. Our parking team is incredibly important to us. It has been said that the average person, when they visit a church, makes up their mind about coming back to that church within the first 10 to 15 minutes. So that's long before they hear the sermon or they meet the pastor. They are making up their mind and their opinion. And so at Next Level, we say the sermon begins in the parking lot. It's the first impression where guests will meet. And our parkers do an amazing job of greeting people, bringing in first-time guests, but also putting out signs. And I know if you're a regular, you know where to go. But if you think about it, when it's your first time, it could be very confusing going to a new place. And so they haul out every morning these signs, and then when the service is done, they bring these signs in. Well, a couple months ago, we had some of our parking team wasn't able to be there for the service. And so at the end of the service, when I was going home, I noticed that the signs were still out and it was raining. Because I'm an owner, I wanted to take responsibility and not just complain about it or have someone else do it. So I decided to gather the signs myself. And can I just tell you, it is hard work. It is really hard work. I don't know if you guys know this or not, but I work out. And it was still really heavy. It was like difficult. Like I was sweating afterwards and it was raining and it was difficult work. And I made a mental note in that moment. Our parking team is incredibly important. Not only do they welcome our first time guests, but they also do something really important to us. And so if you're here and you're like, hey, I'm not on a team yet, the parking team could be a great team for you to join. And the way to do that is to scan the QR code and sign up for pizza with the pastor. It's a great team that you can join and jump in, and you can make a difference starting really, really soon. So if you're not on a team yet, I encourage you to consider that one. All right, let's jump into our series. We are continuing our series, Complaining in the Promised Land. And I want to do a little bit of review. If you missed last week, then I want to encourage you to check out the podcast, Next Level Church 757, or you can watch it on YouTube. And I'm just throwing this out there. I was told it was one of my best sermons yet. And so if you missed it, you could like rewatch it just for that reason. But I think there's more reasons that you should watch it. And one of the big reasons is it is the foundation of where we're going in this series. And so I want to do a little bit of review, but I can't cover everything that we covered last week. Last week, one of the things that we talked about is how important your attitude is. Your attitude is incredibly important. Do you see a negative situation as an opportunity for God to do a miracle, or do you see it as a hopeless situation? One of the things that we highlighted last week is that we're all going to go through difficult situations, but your attitude is the thing that dictates how that situation is going to go. Do you have a positive attitude about it, or do you have a negative attitude? Do you see it as an opportunity for God to do a miracle, or do you see it as like, woe is me, this is a hopeless situation? And we saw that in the scripture, there is room for difficult situations. The scripture gives us the difference between grumbling and groaning. Grumbling is a negative attitude that does not honor God. Groaning is a cry out to God. And so you don't have to pretend to be perfect. You don't have to pretend like you don't have issues. And scripture gives us room to cry out to God and say, God, this is a difficult situation. I don't know how to handle this, but I'm trusting that you are the God of the universe and that you're giving me hope and that you're going to still have an opportunity to do a miracle. There's a difference between crying out to God and complaining about your circumstances. When we grumble, we focus on just not getting our way. And so we ended the service last week talking about you have two options. When you have a bad attitude, you have two choices. Number one, you can change the circumstance, or number two, you can change your attitude. If you're in a circumstance right now, you need to start saying, is there something I can change about this? Maybe if it's a job, you can change jobs or look for another job, or maybe it's an attitude that you need some help with, and so you go see a Christian counselor to help you work through the situation. That's a change that you could do. Or maybe you have to change by coming up with some positive solutions to try to fix the situation. You've got to think, can I change this circumstance in any way? If you cannot change the circumstance, then your only other option is to change your attitude. And that's what I want to focus on today, because we can be in difficult circumstances, and it can be hard to change our attitude. What happens when we're in a hopeless situation? What happens when we're in a difficult situation and we don't have the strength to praise God? We don't have the strength to go to God. We don't have the mindset to be positive. What do we do in that circumstance? And that's what our text is going to deal with today. And at Next Level, we honor the text by standing to our feet. So I want to invite you to stand to your feet and read with us nice and loud Philippians 2, 14 through 15. And you'll see the reference, Philippians 2. There's two dots between the 2 and the 14. We like to have a little bit of fun. We just pump our fists and say dot, dot. I want to invite you to do the dot, dot with us. Will you read it with me nice and loud? It says, do everything without grumbling or arguing so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault in a warped and crooked generation. Philippians 2, dot, dot, 14 through 15. Now that we've read the text, let's go to God in prayer. And I want to invite you to spend a few seconds just quietly talking to God in your heart. A prayer that I would invite you to pray is, God, speak to my heart and give me the courage to do whatever you tell me to do. Would you spend a few seconds just quietly talking to him? God, we do invite you to speak, and we know that the primary way that you speak is through your word. But help us to be people that don't just hear it, but do what you say. And we ask you to give us the courage to do and obey and to follow along with what you tell us to do. And God, I ask that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. Oh Lord, you are my rock and my redeemer. In Jesus' name, amen. You may have a seat. So I want to give you a little bit of context about the text that we're going to read, because I think the context is going to help bring the text to life. The text that we're going to read is from the New Testament part of the Bible. It is written by a guy by the name of Paul, sometimes referred to as the Apostle Paul. And at Next Level, we say that Paul is a primetime player. It's because he wrote over half of the New Testament. But the context in which he wrote what we're going to look at today is really important for us to understand the words that he's saying. Paul writes a letter, he writes a letter to a group of Christians in an area called Philippi. And the reason he writes to them is because he is sitting in a Roman prison. He is chained to a Roman guard, and the church in Philippi has sent him a care package. They are meeting his needs. In Paul's day and age, prison systems didn't come with three meals and didn't come with clothing or even bedding. Your friends and family had to provide that. And so the church in Philippi gives a care package to meet Paul's needs, and he writes them a letter, and it is incredibly encouraging. It is incredibly positive, but the context that we cannot move past is, even though it's encouraging and positive, Paul is still sitting in a Roman prison when he writes it. And when Paul writes one of his most encouraging letters, it would have been very easy for him to focus on his chains, and it would have been very easy for him to say, woe is me. It would have been very easy for him to have a negative mindset. Anyone here a fan of Johnny Cash? Anyone know Johnny Cash? It would have been fully acceptable for Paul to have pulled a Johnny Cash and said, I see that train a-coming, it's rolling round the bend, and I ain't seen the sunshine since, I don't know when, I'm stuck in a Roman prison, as time keeps dragging on. Paul could have pulled a Johnny Cash. He could have said, woe is me, like these chains are difficult, like he could have said, this really stinks, and the reason he's in prison is simply because he's a Christian. Don't move past that. He hasn't done anything wrong. He's like, God, you told me to tell people about Jesus, and I did, and now I'm in prison. That could have been the theme of his letter. But instead, he writes some incredibly powerful words. We're going to start Philippians 2, 14. Paul says, do everything. Would you just humor me, and on the count of three, say everything, one, two, three. Everything, without grumbling or arguing. Paul says, do everything without grumbling. Some translations call that complaining, or they might use the word murmuring. The Greek word that Paul uses is an onomatopoeia. An onomatopoeia, in case you forgot from elementary school, is the use of a creation of a word that phonetically imitates, resembles, or suggests the sound that it describes. So some examples of onomatopoeias are things like boom, huh, pow, pow pow, or if you're into Star Wars, pew pew. wow. You remember a time in the 90s where people would go, wow. Like, wow, you make the W and then the O. Wow. Only me? I went to a private Christian school. We did this a lot. Okay. Ha, ha, ha. That's another one. That, like, when you say the word, you can just picture what it looks like. That's an onomatopoeia. And the Greek word that Paul uses specifically is the word gongudzo. Gongudzo. Gongudzo means to mutter or to murmur. Now, in Paul's day and age, gongudzo referred to the sound of cooing doves. So if you grew up in the 80s listening to Prince and you wondered, what does it sound like when doves cry? It sounds like gongudzo. Now, we miss this because we're not in Paul's day and age, and we've translated it from Greek to English, but Paul is making a point that his whole audience would have known. Gongudzo would have been a very normal term. It's a term of like just walking around and under your breath, you're just making noise. I didn't get my way. I can't believe they did that. It's someone has told you to do something at work, and you put a smile on your face, but when they leave, you murmur under your breath, I can't believe, who are they to tell me to do this? I can't believe this is unreasonable. It is when you have a conversation with your spouse and they say something you don't agree with. Maybe you're afraid of confrontation so you don't have a conflict with them, but under your breath and in your heart, you say something negative. The reason this context is important is because Paul is making sure that we know that our complaining, our murmuring, is ultimately a heart issue. It's not a circumstance issue. It's the complaining and murmuring comes from within. I'm not getting what I want. I don't like this circumstance, and so I'm going to murmur. I'm going to complain. Instead of doing something positive about it, instead of trying to solve the problem, I'm going to just sit here and just sit in my murmuring. Now, I am by nature a positive person. And so I've gravitated to this verse, and I've taught this verse many times. I think it's a great verse. I think it's a verse Christians should hold on to. But this time, as I was prepping the sermon, I kept thinking of a new term that I just heard a couple years ago. And I just started saying, you know, maybe there are other people that when they hear me say that Paul wrote, do everything without murmuring, maybe there's some people that are hearing something that I just learned about. In 2021, I want to paint the scene for you. My wife was an elementary school teacher. She was teaching at Tab Elementary, and the world, if you remember, we were coming out of COVID, but we weren't out of it yet. And so it was a very difficult world to live in, and teachers already have a very hard job. It is extra difficult when they were navigating kids somewhere at home and online and somewhere in person, and it was a lot of workload, and the school board continued to put things on teachers but not take anything off their plate. So because I'm married to a teacher, I continue to hear the difficulties of being a teacher and how hard the workload was. My wife's principal at the time, I think, is a phenomenal leader. And I think she is incredible at doing her job, and she holds people accountable, but she also is incredibly positive. And in 2021, when they were going through a lot of difficulties and the political landscape was just bonkers and there was like it just was problems everywhere, she gets the teachers together and she's trying to help them be positive. Yes, this is difficult, but let's keep a positive mindset. Let's still work as hard as we can. This is all we can do. Yes, this is difficult, but let's try to stay positive about things. And my wife comes home and she tells me about this meeting, and she says that afterwards there was some murmuring. And there was some gongudzo. There was some complaining. I was like, what in the world? What could you complain about? Like, that was sounded like a great meeting to me. In fact, I have learned from Monica's principal. I try to send now, because of something she does, I send our staff a positive message every Sunday to try to just encourage them. Because I'm like, I think that's what great leaders do. Yes, there's problems, but let's focus on the good. What in the world could have been wrong with that meeting? Well, the teachers were complaining, and they threw out a term that I'd never heard before. The term was toxic positivity. I'd never heard this before. Here's what toxic positivity is. It's the excessive and ineffective overgeneralization of a happy, optimistic state across all situations. So what the teachers were saying is that because their leader was saying, hey, yeah, this is hard, but we need to be positive, they were saying she's being toxic positive. Now, I am a positive person, and I want to try to remain positive as I talk about toxic positivity, but I just want to say that I positively reject toxic positivity. I do not understand it. I can't wrap my mind around it. I do not think that Paul was being toxic or positive when he said, in every situation, stop complaining. There is room for you to have difficult circumstances. Paul is not saying that you can't say, hey, this is tough. He's not saying, yeah, we need to work on this. He's not saying that you can't address problems in your life. But he says, in every situation, the murmuring, it's not going to help. What other option do we have? You're going through a difficult situation. The positivity is not saying that it's not hard. It's helping you navigate through the situation. To be positive about a difficult situation is not toxic. It's hopeful. And Christians should be the most hopeful people around. Yes, the situation is hard. Yes, it's difficult. Yes, I don't know how I'm going to do that. Yes, we're in a really tough situation, but I have a God who rose from the grave 3 days later, and I'm going to focus on that. Paul could have complained about his situation, but instead he sees it as an opportunity. I want to show you something Paul says in chapter 1 of his letter to the Christians in Philippi. He says, now I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that what has happened to me has actually served to advance the gospel. As a result, it has become clear throughout the whole palace guard and to everyone else that I am in chains for Christ. And because of my chains, most of the brothers and sisters have become confident in the Lord and dare all the more to proclaim the gospel without fear. Did you catch what Paul just said about his circumstance? I am in chains. That's the reality. I don't like my chains. That's the reality. But these chains have served to advance the gospel. Now everyone in the palace knows about Jesus. And they've literally chained me to a Roman guard where I get to talk about Jesus all day long. And he can't go anywhere. They keep bringing in new palace guards and chaining me to them, and I just keep leading them to Jesus. And now all of a sudden, the whole palace guard knows about Jesus, and there's Christians everywhere we look. Paul's not minimizing his chains. His chains still stink. It is horrible to be in prison, but Paul is saying that God has used even a difficult circumstance to advance the gospel. When you focus on what God can do, then your problems become opportunities. Yes, I have problems. But God, this is an opportunity for you to shine. Yep, I got a difficult situation, and I don't know how to fix this. But God, you are in the business of miracle working. Keeping a positive mindset is less about you and more about the God that you serve. Keeping a positive mindset is not something that you're just forcing yourself to do. It is something that you are willing yourself to do, to focus on God. God, I'm going to think about you. I'm going to focus on you. I'm going to find that you've given me hope. The situation may be hopeless, but I have hope in you. I saw a tweet by a guy by the name of Ray Ortland, and he posted the following. I thought it was really insightful. He said, when my boyhood church faced hardship, one of the saintly fathers of our church, Alfred Dixon, would gently say to us, now we have the privilege of seeing only what God can do. I love that mindset. Yeah, we got a hardship, but now we get to see what only God can do. I don't know how this is going to work out. I really don't like it. I don't like my chains. I don't like being in prison. But now I get an opportunity to see what only God can do. The problem with complaining is it causes us to miss out on the miracles that God wants to do through us. And complaining is just focused on our circumstance, but we lose the hope when we complain that God has a work coming, that God can do something. He has a miracle in store. He can work through this. Even the most difficult circumstance can be used to spread God's love and favor. Now, there are some of you who would just say, well, you know, I can't help it. That's just who I am. I'm just a negative person. Or, in fact, you wouldn't say you're negative. You'd be optimistic about your negativity. You would say that you are a realist, that this is just the way you are. It's just the way you've always been. You can't control it. You can't help it. I'm just being real. That may be how you feel, but if you are a follower of Jesus, you are called to die to yourself daily. And if you have a negative mindset about circumstances, I just want to highlight to you that you are in danger of missing what God wants to do. You are in danger of missing the good things that God is doing in your life because you're so focused on complaining, on not getting your way, or on a difficult circumstance. There's a story about a Trappist monk, and he was allowed to only say two words every 3 years. And after the first three words, he said to the brother superior, bad bed. 3 years to come up with two words, and all he could come up with was bad bed. 3 years later, he came back to say, bad food. After three more years of silence, the monk said, no TV. Another 3 years passed. This time, the monk appeared with his robe, his sandals, all his belongings, and he announced his two words, I quit. The brother superior answered, well, it's no wonder you've quit. You've done nothing but complain since you got here. You may be a person who can be focused on what's wrong in the world. You may be a person who can see all the problems, and maybe that is your mindset. Maybe that's the way that you are wired. You can still focus and see things that need to be fixed without having a negative attitude. You can still see a situation and say, okay, we need to improve this. This still needs some work, but I'm not going to attack the people involved. You can look at circumstances and not grumble or murmur or complain. And it may take the work of God in your life, but this is why Paul's words are so incredibly important, that when you are in a difficult situation, you are not to focus on your situation or yourself. You are to put your attention on God and focus on what God can do. Paul says, Philippians 2:14 through 15, do everything without grumbling or arguing so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault in a warped and crooked generation. So Paul tells us why we need to do everything without grumbling and complaining. And the reason that we need to work hard and repent in some circumstances and ask God to change our hearts, and the reason we need to work really, really diligently at not complaining, is because we have an opportunity to stand out in a crooked and depraved generation. If everybody is complaining, you will stand out simply for being positive. If everyone is negative, if everything in the world is falling apart, the fact that you have a positive mindset and you don't have woe, despair coming out of your mouth, you will stand out. And eventually someone will say, why in the world are you so joyful? If I was in your shoes, I wouldn't have that mindset. If I was going through that circumstance, I wouldn't have been acting like that. If I was in the very situation that you were in, if I was in a Roman prison attached to a guard by chains, I wouldn't be positive. Why are you so positive? And now it becomes an opportunity for you to talk about the God of hope. And it's an opportunity for you to share that, yeah, this is a difficult situation, and I don't always handle it right, and I don't always like it, but I have a God who works miracles. The scripture says that suffering may come at night, that weeping may come at night, but joy comes in the morning. That as a God follower, as a Christian, you will go through difficult things, but you are going to continue to worship God. And as long as you wake up the next morning, it's an opportunity to see God do a miracle in your life. The hope that we have is it's in Jesus. It's not in our circumstance. It's not in ourself. It is in what God can do. So let's keep reading and see what Paul says next. Philippians 2:15. It says that when you do all this, then you will shine among them like stars in the sky. I want to make sure that you understand this. No one, to my knowledge, has ever become a Christian because they watched Christians complain about the world we live in. To my knowledge, no one has become a Christian because they've seen two other Christians fight with one another and argue and complain. And they said, you know what, you guys are so negative. I want to be a part of that. Can I jump in? I don't have enough problems. Let me join a church. I've never heard anyone say that. And so, yes, you may have real problems, and yes, you may have real issues, but it is impossible to shine for Jesus when you are complaining and murmuring. And Paul says when you focus on God and you give God your problems, and that may mean you cry out to God, that you groan before God, but you are going to outwardly rejoice in what God can do. When you do that, you will shine like stars in the universe, that are pointing people back to the God of hope, the God who was dead, but then 3 years later, he rose from the grave. Your situation may feel hopeless, but we have the God of hope. Hold on to that. Believe in that. I don't know if you've kept track of the revival that happened earlier at Asbury College in Kentucky. And what happened was it's a Christian college, and they had a chapel service, and the speaker that day basically encouraged the students that if you want more of God, if you want God to just move in your life, then invite him to. And a handful of students afterwards stayed after, and they just said, hey, we want this. We want to experience God. And it led to all of a sudden spreading around the campus. And what started as a chapel service before long went to 24 hours of nothing but worship and prayer. And the chapel was packed. And 24 hours led to 48 hours. And then all of a sudden, we went to 3 days and 4 days. And by like day 8, 9, the media started getting a word of this. And I started seeing it all over, like literally all over social media. There was like news reports and people were saying, in fact, people started coming from around the world to be a part of what was going on at Asbury, Kentucky. There are multiple pastors who were like literally like getting plane tickets and like, we want to go there. We want to be a part of this. And every time I saw someone post a picture on Instagram, the chapel was packed with just young college students who were crying out to God and just saying, hey, we repent of our sin and we so want you to move in our lives. And they literally were just having this movement of God. And then I would get on TikTok or Facebook, and I would see Christians start to critique this move of God. Now, I don't know enough about it. I didn't go to Asbury. I wasn't a part of it. In fact, I don't know anyone personally well enough to say, hey, what is really going on there? Even if, though, just stick with me on this for a second. Even if what happened in Asbury was not a real revival, it is a horrible look for Christians to be criticizing what is called a move of God by a lost media. It is a horrible look. And time again, because a Christian doesn't get their way or because something happens that is different than the way they would do it, they murmur and they complain, and it is a bad look. You have real problems, and you need to learn how to deal with them in a way that still honors God. And in your problems, if you are murmuring, complaining, you are not shining for Jesus. So I want to give you some practical ways to stop complaining. Here's some just practical advice. If you got some negativity, you got a problem in your life, here's some practical advice to help you stop complaining. Number one, when you want to complain, pray first. Literally, before you complain, before you murmur, before you go, God's up, blah, 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 before you do that, just pray. God, I didn't like that. Ah, man, God, I didn't like her attitude. I didn't like that assignment, God. God, I just want to pray. I want to give, like, help me to reflect you. Just spend a few seconds praying, talking to God, and watch what happens in your heart. Number two, when you want to complain, find something to thank God for. The scripture is really clear that we are not thankful for every situation. We are thankful in every situation. So it is okay to say, hey, this is difficult, but God. I don't like this situation, but I'm still thankful for something about it. I don't like the medical report that I just got, but I'm thankful that God's provided hospitals and that I live in America where I can find treatment for this. I may not like this decision my boss made, but I'm gonna remain thankful that I have a job to pay my bills. I may not like the thing that my kids just did, but God, I'm so thankful that you gave me kids. We're going to find a way to be thankful. Thank God for something in the midst of a difficult circumstance. Number three, when you want to complain, look for possible solutions. The problem with murmuring is that it's so focused on the negativity, it doesn't offer any life. It doesn't offer any help. I'm just going to dump this problem on your plate and then move on. What is more helpful is to have a keep a positive attitude and say, hey, this is the problem. Let's talk about it. And here are some potential solutions. Or I would like to brainstorm with you some potential solutions. What we're going through is tough, and I need some help with this. But here's something that I'm going to be to help make the difficult situation positive. I'm going to help provide solutions and not just problems. Number four, when you want to complain, talk to people who can do something about it. One of the biggest difficulties that I see, and this is not just Christians, it's all across the board, but this is said to you if you are a Christian. Everyone else may be complaining about everything, but if you are a Christian, you are called to represent Jesus in every area of your life. And when there is a bad situation, when there is a complaint that needs to have, you do not talk about people, you talk to people who can do something about the problem. And when you gossip and complain about other people at work that can't fix your problem, you are spreading the negativity and you're not shining like a star in the universe for God. You may have to bring a complaint up. You may have to go to your boss or to someone in charge. You may have to go to someone who can solve something or be a part of the solution. And if they're not willing to fix it, you may have to quit jobs or change your circumstance. But when there is a real issue, you are just spreading negativity if you go to someone who can't help you solve it. So this might mean there's no one that can help you solve it. So go call a Christian counselor because you pay them for them to listen to you whine and complain about your problems. And maybe they are the ones that can help you find a solution for it. But you do not go to people who can't help you solve it. You don't go to other employees and complain about your boss. That's not helpful. You don't go to your kids and complain about your spouse. That's not helpful. You don't go to other church members and complain about your pastor or staff. That's not helpful. You go to people who can help solve the situation, and you bring it to them in a humble light that says, hey, let's try to fix this together. I'm on the team. I want to try to help solve this. When you complain, talk to people who can do something about it. This is, I know, for some of you, this is a very easy thing because you have more of a positive mindset. And you're like, yeah, like right on, preach it, pastor. But for others of you, it's a very difficult thing to hear because maybe you grew up in a negative household and maybe you've never seen a positive mindset. I want to just remind you that just because something is difficult does not mean that it's not of God. Jesus told us that we are called to die to ourselves, and even the most positive person, at some point in our lives, we face a circumstance that makes us want to murmur, grumble, and complain. And in that moment, we are called to remember Paul's words in Philippians 2, 14 through 15, do everything without grumbling or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God, without fault in a warped and crooked generation. So may we be a people that focuses more on the God of hope than we focus on the despair of our circumstances. May we remind our minds to pray when we go through difficulty, because complaining does not draw people to Jesus. May we repent of the times where we've gossiped and brought negativity about other people instead of going to people and trying to solve the problem. And may we remember that the way that we handle our difficulties is ultimately not about us, it's about the God of the universe. So may we shine like stars in a crooked and depraved generation. Will you pray with me? God, we come before you and we thank you so much that you are the God of the universe, that you do bring such healing, that you bring such light, that you are good. You being good does not mean everything goes our way. It does not mean that we don't go through difficult circumstances, God. It just means that you're good, that you've given us hope, that you potentially find a way for us to get through the darkness. And we just ask in Jesus' name that right now you would be softening our hearts, that you'd be working in our difficult circumstances, that you would be training our minds, that some of us would make the choice to worship you even when it's a difficult situation. We thank you for what you're going to do. We ask that you continue to work in our hearts and our minds. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
We hope you've enjoyed and learned from today's podcast. If you'd like to connect with us further, you can check out our website, nextlevelchurch.net, or find us on Facebook or Twitter.